Blog Talk Radio.
Inhale your freshness, I await the day I can stand in your presence. Gave me your next mark, it's part of my essence. I look to the sky cause you're gave us your word in the form of the Bible. To you there's no equal, you have no rivals. Without you, life is lifeless, no vitals. Worship you and you alone. Your character and nature, they don't change. Let everything that has breath praise your name. With you, nothing's impossible. Almighty power, your kingdom come, God. We await the hour. Created the cosmos, the stars and the heavens. Made man in your image, the rest of the seven. You're always on time, like a metronome. My shepherd died with me when the pressure is on. I know the nation put the Christ in your place. The creation over the creator, a fit in your face. But now we, your sons and daughters, we call you Abba, Toda, Rabba, Rukata, Hallelujah. I trust you, Yah, cause you don't change. Through the years, you stay the same. You always maintain. I know you save me right out the flames. Cause of this, I praise your name. I trust you, Yah, cause you don't change. Through the years, you stay the same. You always maintain. I know you save me right out the flames. Cause of this, I praise your name. You saw fit to give me life in the form of a baby, then place me in the care of a wonderful lady who raised me against the odds. Promise we had dozens. Father, right there for me when my first one wasn't. So many times I could've died for the reason I'm alive. Through the sex and violence of the hood, you helped me survive. You snatched me by the hand and gave me a new start. So now I serve you with my whole mind and heart. What others didn't see, you saw beneath the surface. You opened my eyes up and gave me a new purpose. Blessed me with a beautiful wife and kids, with food, a job, a beautiful place to live. Cast my worries on you when things are narrow. Know you watching over me if you got your eyes on the sparrow. See, I put down the source and went to the source. Every since then, my whole life has been on course. Make me a man after your heart like David, and I'ma rep your Torah and your name is sacred. Shows your love when you let your son die. To atone for me, it's enough to make a grown man cry. I trust you, Yah, cause you don't change. Through the years, you stay the same. You always maintain. I know you save me right out the flames. Cause of this, I praise your name. I trust you, Yah, cause you don't change. Through the years, you stay the same. You always maintain. I know you save me right out the flames. Cause of this, I praise your name. I trust you, Yah, cause you don't change. Through the years, you stay the same. You always maintain. I know you save me right out the flames. Cause of this, I praise your name. I trust you, Yah, cause you don't change. Through the years, you stay the same. You always maintain. I know you save me right out the flames. Cause of this, I praise your name.
The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened to your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I the Lord have spoken it, and performed it, saith the Lord.
Israel, he took me out of darkness and put me in his marvelous light. And if you could relate to that, this song's for you.
Every time I think about all he's done, how he changed my life and made it so much better, I'm just in awe. It's so amazing, yeah, yeah. Many times I was down on my knees crying, looking for the answer, but I couldn't find it at all, yeah. But he always came on time and made it right. He's so
Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom. and welcome back. Welcome back to the Biblical Hebrews of the Bible, which is sponsored by Blog Talk Radio. I'm your sister, your host, your servant, as well as your friend, Sister Georgia. Today is the 15th of April, 2014. Once again, we're getting ready to get back into our Father's Word, and we're going to be continuing with the series, The Man, Thy Sons, the Passover, the Gentiles, and those generational vipers. This is episode number 3, and we pray that everyone has listened to the first 2 lessons. Now, today, I thought about it. Many people are, I think yesterday, I'm not sure if they're doing it today too, but they are observing the Passover. And many of our family members want to know, do we observe the Passover? Well, spiritually, yes, we do. We're going to go into scriptures to give the understanding of the Passover. I'm actually going to put an addendum to this lesson. Instead of calling it the number 3 of the lesson, the man, the sons, and all so forth, we're going to call it acceptable Passover. I'm going to retitle it after the lesson. But this is an acceptable Passover. That's what we're going to talk about, according to the Father's Word. And this should give a lot of clearing and understanding spiritually to, are we supposed to be keeping Passover? Because when we read the Father's Word, it should become clear. I don't think people really understand fully what the Passover encompassed. But as we read, you're going to see where it's actually spoken in the beginning, okay, in the Old Covenant. It's spoken of in the New Covenant. And really what we're doing today, because we're going to hear about it even in Revelations, and we're waiting for the regathering of our people. We're going to hear about it there as well. So we're going to be talking today about an acceptable Passover. I pray everyone is in the mode for learning. I pray that you have your scriptures open. And I pray that, you know, you will come as children to the Word. Let our Father's Word speak. Give the understanding, you know, and hearken to our Father. Seek our Father's face in truth and in spirit. Once again, I welcome everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We're getting ready to begin our Shabbat lesson today. And I'm waiting on Brother Jonathan to call. Brother Jonathan, if you're there, raise your hand, please. There's quite a few numbers. I'm not exactly sure which one's yours. So I'm waiting for my brother to call in. And I want to, I'm going to give the first link where I will be. Oh, there he is. Okay, right on time, brother. Okay, hold on, family. Let me get the mics open here. Okay. Shabbat shalom, Brother Jonathan.
Shalom.
Hey, how you doing, brother?
Doing good, doing good.
Okay. You know, we're always happy when you can join us, and I know that you have a full schedule, so the family's really excited. You want to say anything to the family and get the show, get our lesson started with the prayer?
Yeah, that's cool. Well, shalom, Israel, you know, children of the Most High. You know, I thank you, you know, for having me on. You know, I enjoy being on, you know, as your brother. You know, my sisters and brothers learning the Most High Word, you know, seeking the Father's face, you know, trying to get up out of this place, y'all. You know, that's what we got to do. You know, we got to live righteous, seek Him, so we can get up out of this land, so we can go serve the Most High the way that He wants us to. So, with that being said, I'm going to go into prayer. So, Father Yahuwah, we thank you today. Thank you for all that you do for us. And Father, we come before you today to learn your word. I ask, Father, that take away, Father, the cares of this world from us, Father, that tends to draw us down and give us a clear mind, Father, to hear from you. Father, I ask that any of the brethren, Father, who's going through anything right now, Father, whether it's family issues, Father, whether it's depression, whether it's oppression, Father, I just I ask for a healing upon them, Yahuwah. I ask that a clear mind, Father, for all the brethren, so that we may learn your word, Father, and that we may do your word foremost. Father Yahuwah, I just thank you for Sister Georgia. Thank you for everybody that's up under my voice. that come out to hear your word, Father. I just ask that you continue to mold us, Father, the way that you want us to be. Continue to cleanse our hearts, Father, from this wicked world. And I just thank you and I love you, Father. I just pray all these prayers in the name of Yahushua. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. Thank you. All right, family, we're getting ready to get started. what I'm going to do, I'm going to supply the chat room right now with a link to the first book of the scriptures that we're going to be reading from. And, brother, if you can go ahead and open up Isaiah 1 for me, I'd appreciate that. This all has to do with the Passover. See, unless you know the truth of our history, remember, this is our history book, family, no doubt. This is our history from the beginning, Genesis, all the way to the revealing in Revelations. Okay, this is our history book. Unless you know who is the Father speaking to, he was always speaking to the children of Israel. The only people who was correcting were the children of Israel, and it was because of their disobedience. The only people he punished and scattered across the four corners of the earth were his children, the children of Israel. So when we go to the revealing, we understand that it comes down to people believe it's speaking of all the other nations. Oh, nah, 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 you better look again. Better go back to the prophets. It's speaking to who this book was for. It's speaking of the children of Israel. You can go through the prophets and understand that the other nations, the chastisement or their judgment has already been sentenced. But as far as the children of Israel, and remember, all Israel is not of Israel. You'll find that out in Revelations. So something got us in trouble, something that we were doing and something that we continuously do, whether we know it's unleavened bread or leavened bread. We're doing this. And basically, that's what we're going to go over today, because the Passover, that's one of the things that I don't think people are really looking at properly, getting a spiritual understanding. We're going to take you through Scripture, family, and show you what the Father's Word says on this matter. So I pray that you are ready to learn. I pray that, you know, you will come as children. Okay, seek the Father for this. It's all right in His Word preserved for you to understand. Brother, did you get Isaiah 1? Uh-oh,
yeah,
I don't know if you're on mute. Okay. Do me a favor, brother. Could you read verses, let's see.
Can you hear me?
My computer. Yeah, I can, brother. I can hear you. Can you do me a favor? I want you to first read Isaiah beginning at verse 1 and then stop at verse 9 for me first.
Okay, cool. Isaiah Chapter 1, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for Yahuwah hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people does not consider. Ah, sinful nation. People laden with iniquity. A seed of evildoers. Children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Most High. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Most High of Hosts had left us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah.
Thank you, brother. So, family, one thing you have to understand when you go to the book of Isaiah, he was a prophet that was sent to the children of Israel during the time of the kings. Specifically in the book of Isaiah, he's going to the southern kingdom, that's Judah. But what he's getting ready to proclaim, he can very well as proclaim it also to the northern kingdom, okay, that was called Israel. He lets you know it's something that we're doing. He tells us in verse, let's see what verse that is. Verse 3, he says, an ox knows its owner and an ass his master's crib, but Israel does not know, my people doth not consider. And what he's speaking of, he's going to give understanding in a second as we read on, the children of Israel were not worshiping our father. When they took it upon themselves in the book of Kings, the northern kingdom, to build that, they took the same day of worship that was taking place in Jerusalem, but they went and built them an altar through Jeroboam, two golden calves to worship as our father, took the basis of men to be high priest, and basically had their own little man-made festival, feast day is what they did. And the Most High was not pleased with that. Later we find that it trickled into Judah because both of them started worshiping in the high groves and the high hills and the groves and so forth. So he lets us know that from the soles of the foot even to the head, there's no soundness in it. But there's wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed up, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. So he lets us know that we're like a sore that's just wide open, no bandage, no treatment given to us. We're not healed. Okay? He says that we just keep sinning and sinning and sinning. So now we're going to read, why is it that we don't know who our Father is? Many people don't get this. The reason why we don't know who our Father is, as he states, this is our Father, letting us know through Isaiah. An ox knows his owner, and as his master's crib, but the owner of Israel, my children, my people, they don't even consider who their father is, who their owner is. Okay, so we're going to finish reading up from verse 10 to verse, I think I said 20, let me look. Yeah, through 20. Could you please read that for us, brother? The book of Isaiah, chapter 1, now we're going to read verses 10 through 20 to find out what was it we were doing, the reason why the Father says, they don't know me. Okay, go ahead, brother, please.
Okay, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 10. Hear the word of Yahuwah, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of the Most High, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? Said Yahuwah, I am full of burnt offerings, of rams, and the fat of fed beasts. And I delight not in the blood of bullocks, or lambs, or he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons, your appointed feasts, my soul hated. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Most High. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Most High hath spoken it.
All right. Thank you, brother. Right here we're seeing verses 10 through 20 of 1 Isaiah. He's talking about what it was that made him say that an ox knows his owner and asks his master's crib, but, you know, my people, my children, they don't even consider what we were doing. He goes into, in verse 10, he tells you, hear the word of our father. Now he calls them ye rulers of Sodom, and give ear unto the law of your father, ye people of Sodom. He's still talking about Israel. So he says, here it is. It's like I could say today for those who have been participating and thinking that they're doing what is required of the Most High, because they're under the scribes and Pharisees who push the law and take them back to Torah and keep them in the physical, not letting them get prepared in the spiritual, which is what we're trying to do in order to get into the kingdom, because no flesh and blood will enter into that kingdom. Yahushua came, and he completed, he fulfilled, it's finished. He was that one-time sacrificial lamb. So it tells us, here's what he do. He says, to what purpose is the multitude, all of your sacrifices unto me? Because many of the things that we were doing in the old covenant, it was man-made. The Father didn't tell us to do that. He didn't tell Jeroboam to do what he did. He didn't tell Judah, backsliding Judah, to do that. But we started sacrificing not to him, not according to how he prescribed. So that's very important to understand, family. He says, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith our Father? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, he's trying to figure this out. He says, who has required this at your hand to tread my courts? Who told you to come here and do this? Because if you really read in the word does not say that we keep any of the things as far as the feast days and like that. It's all a memorial now, family. I don't know if you're understanding this, and I'm going to show you in the scripture. But we are supposed to observe it. To observe something is, it's a memorial. It tells us in verse 13, the Father says, bring no more vain oblations, because when it's vain, it's idol worship. Go look up the word vain. It deals with idols. He says, bring no more vain oblations. This is the way we were worshiping him, these feast days and sacrifices and things. He says, incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons, and people like to figure out the Shabbats by the moon. So he says, the new moons and the Shabbats and the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meetings. It's not that we weren't supposed to do these things, but it was the way we were keeping these things. It wasn't according to the Most High. He tells us, your new moons and your appointed feast, just like we have today. Appointed feast, man-made appointed feast. He says, your new moons and your appointed feast, my soul hate it. Now, that's the Most High telling you that. I don't know how clear it can be. He says, your new moons. Most of the feast days, if you go look at what they're doing, they're going by the moons, the cycle of the moon, like if they really know. But they're man-made. He says, your new moons and your appointed feast, my soul hate it. They are a trouble unto me. I'm weary to bear them. He don't want to deal with that no more. He says, and when you spread forth your hands, because many of our people, they think they're doing something righteous, even today. He says, and when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, no matter how much praying you do and thinking you're talking to the Father, he tells us, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Go to Isaiah 66. Go figure it out. I'm not going to read it because I've read it before. He tells us what we did wrong. It had to do with how we were worshiping him. We weren't worshiping him. We were worshiping other idols because it was man-made is what it was. So he says, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from mine eyes. Cease to do evil. This is considered evil when you make these appointed feasts that the Most High didn't tell you to do. He says, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow, because we did not keep the law. There was no righteous judgment in the land. All these things we did wrong. Why do you think we were scattered? Why do you think we were scattered? Just something to think about. We did a lot of wrong, family. He tells us, come now, and let us reason together, said our father. Though your sins be as scarlet, that is, you can't get no deeper red, bloody red, your hands full of blood. Scarlet is it, family, tells us. Even though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat of the good of the land. And the land at this time was Jerusalem. But the land we're waiting for now is that new Jerusalem. Keep that in mind. He says, but if you refuse and rebel, become stiff-necked and hard-headed. If you continue, you're like a sore that never began ointment, was never bound up. The whole head from the sole of your foot. He said, but if you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of our father Yahuwah hath spoken it. That's clear. That's clear, clear, clear. You know, I don't know what most people need, but we'll go other places. Brother, I need you to go over to 1 Peter's second chapter for me, please. Family, go ahead and open up, okay? If you have scriptures, take down the scriptures we're reading from. At least open up your scriptures with us as we read. I would offer everyone to go back to this lesson, you know, later and really, you know, seek the Father's word out. If you're one of these people who are on the line, you don't know, well, should I be doing any of these feast days or, you know, how is it that the Shabbats are wrong? Well, because if you don't accept Yahushua, it's going to be incorrect. You got to have the mindset of our Redeemer. He came to do his Father's will. All this is of the same mind. We have to be like-minded. When you get there to 1 Peter's, let me know, chapter 2, brother, let me know. I ask everybody to open up. Everybody to open up, please. I'm going to take you some more places. See, family, we're going to talk about what's an acceptable Passover. We've been reading the last few lessons in the book of Exodus, chapter 11 to 13. This is actually just incorporated in basically between chapter 12 and 13. Now, I pray that everyone has kept up with those lessons because I'm going to go through that material a little bit faster. But we're going to get to the truth. We're going to tie it in from the beginning of Old Covenant to the New Covenant and in Revelation. Brother, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm there. Where you want me to start at?
I would like you, if you could, please, could you read verses 1 through 9 for me? No, 1 through 10, I'm sorry, 1 through 10.
It's 1 Peter chapter 2, right, 1 through 10?
Yes.
Okay. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile, hypocrisies, envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so, be ye have tasted that the Most High is gracious, to whom cometh as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of the Most High and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a set apart priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to the Most High by Yahushua. Wherefore, also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and is a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, royal priesthood, set apart nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of the Most High, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
Thank you, brother. So he just read 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. I'm going to go over just a little bit. I want you guys to get this. Now, remember, he did away with, according to our Father's Word, when we read we read Isaiah 1, and we read the last part, 10 through 20. The Father said, hey, I cannot away with. It's iniquity. Bring me no more vain oblations. These incense, they're abomination unto me. Your new moons, your Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. Even the solemn meetings. He's telling you to get rid of all of that. He says, your new moons, your appointed feasts, my soul hate it. They are trouble unto me. I'm weary to bear them. So he says he's going to turn his eyes from you and everything else. But if you're reading 1 Peter chapter 2, the Father lets us know in his word, he's talking to his children, those who are obedient. He says, let me just go there. He says in verse 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of our Father and precious, ye also, speaking to the congregation, as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, as set apart priesthood, to offer what? The lamb, maybe, or the bullocks? No, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to our Father by Yahushua. I pause because I'm wondering, are you hearing? We're reading what our Father says. He told us in Isaiah, do away with all that. You are not doing it right. You're doing it to other deities. I didn't tell you to have this appointed feast day. I didn't tell you to look at that doggone moon, because we discontinued from our heritage anyhow, family. Especially under, and I will say that, this was during the siege of Jerusalem in 70 AD. We discontinued from our heritage. So there's no way nobody's going to have nothing right. I don't care how they go about to explain how they got it. Okay? But when you get to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, here's what he expects of his spiritual house, his people, his children, this set-apart priesthood. He says he wants them to offer up spiritual sacrifices, which are acceptable to Yahuwah, by Yahushua. This is what's acceptable, family. This is what is acceptable. You know, I can go here and there, and I will. I will go here and there with you to give you that understanding. But the verses that we're giving you, the scripture we're giving you, go ahead and read most of that. You know, you can reread it again and again, ask the Father to give you understanding, open your eyes to the truth. By the time you go down a little bit further in 1 Peter chapter 2, when you go down to verse 9, it tells you, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and set-apart nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in past times were not a people, but are now the people of Yahuwah, which had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. So when the healing took place, that we didn't have in the book of Isaiah, when the healing took place, well, that was when that one-time sacrificial lamb, one-time sacrificial lamb for the nation of Israel, when it was completed, and that Yahushua said, it's done, it's finished, because he came to fulfill the prophets. Ain't nobody prophesying nothing new today, but they're teaching. Nobody got no new vision. It's already been done. But the prophets, if anybody's telling you they got a vision, they're lying to you, because the word doesn't say that somebody going to be doing this with their little vision. No. He came as a fulfillment of even the law, because it lets us know in the new covenant that the law is spiritual. So he has bought everything spiritual, but it was done for his people. His people who seek his face and are obedient. It's very clear that our Father wants us to be built up a spiritual house, not a house of semen, and I hate to get gross like that, but some people think that. No, a spiritual house, a set-apart priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices which are acceptable to our Father by Yahushua. It's clear. Okay? So, brother, could you please do me a favor and read verse 15?
Okay. Just verse 15?
Just 15.
Okay. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. For so is the will of the Most High, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men.
Important to know that, family. If you do what is the will of our Father, with these well-doings, we can put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Now, brother, I want you to jump down and finish it up by reading 21 through 25, please.
Okay. All right. 21 through 25?
Yes.
Okay. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For even here too were ye called, because Yahushua also suffered for us, even us as an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to our two sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were a sheep gone astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls.
Okay, thank you, brother. Now, if you're paying attention and if you're understanding the Father's word, we just read in Isaiah how we were a sore, a putrefying sore, never bound up, never given ointment. We were sick from the head to the sole of the feet because of what we were doing. These, as he says, these appointed feast days, these new moons, these Shabbats, these solemn assemblies, these burnt offerings, my soul hateth. They're evil to our Father. And then we're reading how the Father, what he expects from us, he tells us in verse 5. He says, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a set-apart priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to our Father by Yahushua. Then he goes and he lets us know, for so is the will of our Father, that with well-doing he may put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Okay? But he lets you know one other thing. This goes back into that one-time sacrificial lamb, which was Yahushua. You keep reading, it says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Yahushua also suffered for us. And that was that one-time sacrificial Passover lamb, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. He did no sin. There was no guile found in his mouth. There was no leaven found in him. He didn't transgress. Who, when he was reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, and that's our Father Yahuwah. The three powers of authority there, family, the Father, Yahushua, and then the people. He says, who his own self, this sacrificial lamb, Passover lamb, through his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree. Not the cross, but the tree. That we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Now we're healed, because in Isaiah chapter 1, when he was talking to us in the book of Kings, we weren't healed. Then we get to New Covenant, we find out the same Passover the same memorial, the same day of observance, if you want to call it that, and it's really not a day, but we'll go into that in a second. But what he came to fulfill from the old covenant to the new covenant, because he is the new covenant, which is spiritual, it was fulfilled. We are healed as a nation. We are healed. He wants sacrifices, family. That's what he wants. So he says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, because we were dead with the old covenant, the old law, remember, without the Redeemer or that mediator to Yahuwah, we were dead in our sins. When he, upon his death and burial, before he resurrected, he descended into hell, and he went for those who died before he completed his resurrection, so that they also would have the same thing as we have now. We have a direct connection with our Father. We don't have to do any sacrifices or what they're doing today. We don't have to do that. That's of works. We are under grace. We're under grace. Yahushua made that possible for us to have that direct connection back to our Father and be healed as a nation, whereby the Comforter is with us, the set apart Spirit is in us. If we're operating out the Spirit, you'll know this. This is plain and clear. This is plain and clear. So he says, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your spirits. So that was what I wanted to read to you guys, because you got to understand it is a spiritual thing, and we're gonna prove that. Now we're going to hit some other things, some highlights of some other things. Brother, go ahead and flip over to Exodus 12 for me. Exodus 12. And everybody, go ahead and flip over to Exodus 12. If you want to understand the truth about our Passover, what is that really about? What does it encompass? What's the spiritual understanding behind that? Is it spoken of in Revelations? Everybody seems to just go to the old covenant, which is what the scribes and the Pharisees will throw on the people, but they're not hearing our Father. They have learned to actually worship a man and his vain traditions than what our Father says. And it's time for everybody to choose a side. You're going to worship the created more than the creator? If our Father says this, you've got to hearken to it, period. He don't want no lukewarm. Don't even think you're going to be lukewarm about it. Uh-uh. Go to Revelations and figure out what he says about that. He said, I'll spew you out my mouth. I wish that you were either or hot or cold. Don't think that you're going to get out of something because I'm just going to sit on the sideline. You ain't sitting on nothing. You got to choose a side. Brother, go ahead and pick it up, verses Exodus 12. We're going to read the whole thing, but read for me, please, verses 1 through 11.
All right. So I wanted to say something concerning what you just read. I can go ahead and do that?
Uh-huh. Please do.
Okay. With what you were just saying about how the Most High described his people in the first chapter of Isaiah as us having sores and being sick and not healed. And then you read we read the scripture in 2 Peter where Paul was quoting Isaiah when he said, by his stripes we were healed. And that's why I try to tell a lot of people when we read the scriptures and trying to understand the scriptures is that when Paul was talking, Paul was writing letters, and all he was doing was pretty much explaining the scriptures. He was just quoting what the prophets had already said. And I want to read this in Isaiah 53, where Paul was just saying about us as a people.
Please do.
This is Isaiah chapter 53, and I'm gonna read verses 1 through 11. So I'll start at verse 1. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 through 11. Okay, it says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Most High revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of the Most High, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Most High has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. But he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Most High to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Most High shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities.
That's beautiful. That's the same thing. He is that one-time sacrifice, and he did more than what you think. If you think, oh, it's just observing one little day, no, you're mistaken. You're not understanding. What was the purpose of Yahushua? What is the purpose of the Passover? What did it encompass? When we are convicted within ourselves, when we sin, and we are able to repent or to be redeemed through Yahushua to our Father and turn away from our wickedness, we know that Yahushua is that sacrificial lamb, but we are forgiven through our Father when we sin. We know that we must come with no leaven. We know that there is nothing new under the sun. You can't say, see, this is new in the new covenant or in Revelations. No, because it's been of old. But are you getting the spiritual understanding? There's nothing new in the scriptures. It's the same thing being repeated over. Sometimes they change the words on you, and we will point that out. Brother, I thank you for reading that. I thank you, because that probably did help a lot of people. Okay, well, let's keep moving on, because we got a lot of stuff to go over, family. I'm going to take you guys to Exodus 12. We read this already. I'm just going to breeze through it real quick, and we're going to get some understanding, okay? We're going to get some understanding. What I will do, I'm going to have our brother here. Let's see. I got to see how I put the notes. I put the notes crazy. Okay. Well, anyhow, I'm going to go through it first, and then we're going to backlap on some of this information, because I got my notes everywhere. Hold on one second, brother. My computer's going really slow, but I want to get something, and I want you to read this for me. This is taken out of the book of Luke. Get me the book of Luke, chapter 22. Hold Luke 22, verses 1 through 20, okay? You hold that for me, okay? And I'm going to go back, and I'm going to pick up the book of Exodus. That's what we're going to read out first. Because you're going to see where they might have changed some words, but it's still talking about the same thing. So I pray you are here to learn. Open up to Exodus 12 for me, please. Everyone, go ahead and open up. Okay, I provided a link for the KJV Bible as well as all the other translations. Go ahead and open up to Exodus 12. Let's begin at verse 1. Now, our father Yahuwah, he spake unto Moses and to Aaron in the land of Egypt, the land of bondage, saying, keep everything and think about where you're at right now. We're in the land of our captivity. We're not in the promised land. We're not in our own land. So he said to Moses and to Aaron in the land of Egypt, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, both the men, the women, the children. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, the northern, the southern kingdom, all of them, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man, which means all the people, a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto him, next to his house, take it according to the number of spirits. Every man, which is all the people, according to the eating, according to his eating, shall make your count of the lamb. Now, we're talking about the sacrificial lamb, this lamb with no blemish, no sin, nothing wrong with it. Same thing that Yahushua was. This is Old Covenant. This is the Torah. This is Exodus 12. This is what people are trying to do for the Passover, trying to keep to it as best they can, but you can't do it. Let's pay attention to what he says. He says, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood and stroke it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread. And with bitter herbs they shall eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the putrescence thereof. I'm at verse 10, family, of Exodus 12. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Now, I'm going to read to you what's in the scripture. But we know that when they say it's the Lord's Passover, they're talking about Yahushua's Passover. But where have we heard it is the Lord's Passover from family? Think about it. Go to the New Covenant. Brother, go ahead and take us to the book of Luke and read for me. You got to take yourself off mute.
Start at verse, which one? Luke 22.
Okay, when you when you get to Luke 22, I want you to read verse 1 and then jump down. Just read verse 1, because I want to point it out to people in case they're not getting it. Read verse 1.
Okay. Luke chapter 22, verse 1. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover.
Okay. So we just read about the Passover. Okay, which is, they call it the Lord's Supper, okay? They call that in the book of Exodus chapter 12, eating of this sacrificial lamb and the unleavened bread. Well, right here it says, now is the feast of unleavened bread, drew nigh, which is called the Passover. So the feast of unleavened bread is the Passover, or better known as the Lord's Day, or not the Lord's Day, the Lord's Supper, or Yahushua's Supper. That's all the same meaning, family, but we're going to read about it right here. Now, do me a favor and jump from 7 and go ahead and read on.
7, where to stop at?
Just stop at verse 16.
Okay. Luke chapter 22, verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, behold, when ye enter into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, the master said unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall shew you
a large upper room furnished there. Make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of the Most High.
All right. Thank you, brother. I want to pinpoint, just letting you know, that this Lord's Supper or the Passover or the Feast of Unleavened Bread is all talking about the same thing, and Yahushua came to complete that. Now, he also told us, we just read it, that he was an example for us. Just like when John the Baptist was showing the people how to take the water baptism of the flesh, but he was just a forerunner to make the path straight for Yahushua. Yahushua will baptize you with the set-apart spirit and fire. This is the one you want. You want what Yahushua has to offer. And it's a spiritual thing. It's a complete renewing of the mind, body, and spirit, whereas water, all you're doing is washing a little bit of dirt off your behind. There's no difference. Until Yahushua's in the program, you're just as dirty as you were before. Same thing here. He's letting you know, for I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of our Father. Because of the fact that the children of Israel, they had sinned many sins. The Father looked at what they were doing in Old Covenant when he scattered them to both Babylon and Assyria. Let them know. You go back and read those prophets. They let them know what they were doing. It had to do with the sacrifices, with their works, how they were trying to honor the Father. But they weren't doing it according to the Father. So they were scattered. By the time they got back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, scribes and the Pharisees were sitting in Moses' seat, the same ones that will tell you, look at this moon, this is the day of the Passover, we got to do it this way, we got to do it this. Everybody doing it different. It's vain oblations. It's an appointed feast day. Yahushua told his disciples, because they were preparing for the Passover, this was just an example. This was something that we were supposed to keep as a memorial throughout all our generations. But he says, for I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of our Father. He's letting you know this is getting ready to stop. This is getting ready to go spiritual. And when we get into the kingdom, it will all pick back up, but righteously, because we did not keep it righteously in the land. That's why we got scattered. And you know, we're under the scattering of 70 AD, completely out of our land, scattered across the four corners of the earth. Brother, go ahead and pick up verse 17 through 20, please.
Luke chapter 22, verse 17. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of the Most High shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup, this the New Testament or New Covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold.
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all I want you to read. What I want you to get out of this is when you go from verse 17 to 20, he lets you know. He said, when he took the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of Yahuwah shall come. That's the same thing he said in 16. Then he says he took the bread. Now, he offered there was drink and there was something to put in your mouth and eat. Okay, I'm saying those words because I'm getting ready to hit another point up. He took the bread and gave thanks and break it and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body. It's a representation. It wasn't his body. It was a representation. Okay, it was a metaphor of his body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Because through the shedding of his blood, which is why they drink wine, and the eating of the so-called host that the church does, which is in place of the sacrificial lamb, his body, they're doing the so-called Passover. But he said, do this in remembrance of me. But we're not going to do this until we go back into the kingdom, because on your own, in your sinful flesh, you keep corrupting. There was many different factions doing it, many different ways back in the day, still doing it today, same way. He says, likewise, also the cup after supper. Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new cup covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. So we got the sacrificial lamb, which is shown to us as a piece of bread or a host. And then we have the wine of the vine, or the cup which has the blood, shed blood for us. Okay, that is from the sacrificial lamb, this is all just Passover. You got your unleavened bread they use as a host. All this represents what we were supposed to keep as a memorial. Yahushua was showing us an example of things to come, because we did not do it right. We did not do it right, family. No one will enter that kingdom thinking of the flesh. You got to come spiritual with everything. Yahushua wants spiritual sacrifices by Yahushua. And he was that one time sacrificial lamb, because he said it's finished. Now, we're going to go a little further. We're going to go a little further. Brother, go ahead and read 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I'm going to have everybody open up to 1 Corinthians 11. We're just going to read verses 17 through 34. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 34. And I will note why our brother is finding that particular scripture. When you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I didn't have to bring it out, although I can say it, because that's all we've been reading about. You're going to hear about the Father, the Son, and the people. The one mediator between the people and the Father is that man Yahushua, the one-time sacrificial lamb, the mediator, the redeemer, the future king. That's it. So if you're hearing anybody telling you there's four powers of authority, ask the Father to give you understanding. Don't believe that lie, because many have crept in unawares. The scribes and the Pharisees, they were sitting in Moses' seat. You should call them a generation. In every generation of Israel, we had them. They're still here today. If anybody's telling you any of these lies, would you rather observe and listen and hearken to man or the Father? Because remember, in Isaiah 16:19, they're going to be coming up to, they're going to say, hey, our fathers have taught us lies. We've inherited these lies, vanities, idols and stuff. These things, you know, they're doing the feast days and doing all these things they think is right, but they've inherited lies where there's no profit. There's no profit in any of that. The only profit you're going to get is through Yahushua to our Father. Brother, go ahead and read for me, if you would, please, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 34, but I'm going to stop you at verse 20.
Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together, not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the congregation, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper, for in eating, everyone take. Oh, you want to stop at 20.
Yeah. Now, brother, where we heard, now this is Paul, family. This is Paul. Remember, Paul was writing letters. A lot of the letters had rebuke in it. All you got to do is read all of 1 Corinthians 11 to figure out the rebuke. You can go many places. Paul was writing these letters. He was rebuking. He wasn't doing no confirmation on the children of the flesh's understanding of what you read in Scripture. He was rebuking that because just as our brother told you, Paul was quoting many of the prophets. Ain't nothing new underneath the sun. Many just read with the eyes and don't understand. These are letters. Paul couldn't be everywhere at all times. Paul wrote letters. Okay? So Paul says, now in this, that I declare unto you, I praise you not. What is it he's speaking of? Something they're doing. He's talking to the assembly at Corinth. He says that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the assembly, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partially believe it. Just like today. You got one group out here. This is the Shabbat. Another group over there, this is the Shabbat. Another group over there, this is the Passover over here. We're celebrating the Passover. So Paul says, I declare unto you, I praise you not. I'm not giving you no praise for what you're doing, that you come together, but it's not for the good, but for the worse. He says, when you come together in the assembly, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partially believe it. For there must be also heresies among you. Somebody talking lies here. That they which are approved may be made manifest unto you. Because he's going to tell you the truth. So you're going to see the truth from the lie. He tells you, when you come together, therefore, into one place. Now, what is he speaking of? He says, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. We have heard about the Lord's Supper before. Brother, where have we heard that from before? We know that that means Yahushua's supper.
That was Exodus 12.
Right, right. And what was that called?
That was said the Lord's Supper.
Which was the Passover, correct?
Correct.
Okay, I'll just go back because I want to make sure everybody's getting this. We just read out of 1 Corinthians 11, Paul is telling them that they're coming together. There's a bunch of different heresies and divisions among these people, and they're coming together in one place, but he's letting them know this is not to eat Yahushua's supper. We know that the Yahushua's supper that is spoken of, family, we can go right back to the scriptures in Luke 22, verse 1, and it tells us, now the Feast of Unleavened Bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover, better known as Yahushua's Supper. That's what it was. That's what the Passover was. It was Yahushua's Supper. It takes us back to the book of Exodus, chapter 12, where he says in verse 11, and thus shall ye eat, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover, or the supper that was eaten from the sacrificial lamb and the unleavened bread. This is the same thing that Luke spoke of with the Feast of Unleavened Bread, okay? And they were getting ready to do the Passover with Yahushua. This is the same thing, family, when we go back to understand what this Passover or this unleavened festival, Feast of Unleavened Bread, or Yahushua's Supper, they call it the Lord's Day. But when we go and we take a look in the book of, Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 11, it says, because Paul had a problem with what they were doing. He says, when you come together, therefore, in one place, this is not to eat the Passover, basic, the Lord's Supper, Yahushua's Supper, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, or the Passover. It's all the same word, family. Paul's letting them know somebody doing something wrong. There's a lot of divisions among y'all, and he's going to tell you what the problem is. Let's pay attention. Brother, go ahead and read now. And as a matter of fact, just read it all. Go back from 17 and read forward all the way to 28, please.
All the way to 20, okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the congregation, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. But there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper, for in eating everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the congregation of the Most High, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Most High that which also I delivered unto you, that Yahushua, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament, a new covenant, in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup.
Thank you, brother. Well, family, we're tying it all up for you. I pray you're understanding. We're showing you that somebody has taught our people to do an actual act, the same act that you will probably see. It might not be exactly like what the world is doing, but it's not too far from it. Because what we're doing, we're going to read over and over. It's a memorial in remembrance of him. It's something that we're doing. When we go to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17, I'm going to read it again. I pray you guys have understanding. Paul says, now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the assembly, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat Yahushua's Passover, Yahushua's supper. Eating, everyone taketh before others his own supper. Remember, many of the children of Israel, what they were doing, they would pick a day, they would pick a place to worship, either on a high hill, a grove. They were following Jeroboam. They were worshiping and sacrificing to devils, regardless, because it wasn't of our Father. It wasn't prescribed. It didn't include Yahushua. It didn't include the prescribed way of our Father. He told us to keep this in the book of Exodus chapter 12 as a memorial. This is how you do the feast days. This is how you will do it. These are the people who will do it for you, and this is the place where you should worship me. And they made other places, made their own temples, made their, just what you're seeing today, ain't no different. You can't tell me it's different. You ain't, the Father's word says, ain't nothing new underneath the sun. You can't say, see, this is new. Nah, baby, they've been doing it of old. I pray you can see what they're doing. So he said, Paul says, when you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat Yahushua's supper. He's going to take you back to what both Matthew, Mark, and Luke and John, they all talked about, the Feast of Unleavened Bread or the Passover, because we just read it. Now, let's go here. He says, for in eating, everyone taketh before others his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunk. Remember, the sacrifice, the Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Passover, they say the Lord's Supper is all the same thing, but what did it consist of? Well, it consisted of unleavened bread that we were told not to have in our house for 7 days, which is our bodies are the vessels. We're not supposed to participate of anything that is unrighteous and is not according to our Father's word. It's considered the scribes and the Pharisees are sitting in Moses' seat, and they got all the leaven. Be cautious for the leaven of the Pharisees. Watch out. Be careful. Okay? Remember, the famine in the land is not for food or water. is not for what Paul is talking to these people about, because Yahushua said, when you take this cup, do it in remembrance of me. You're not going to have to eat nothing. It's not a physical eating. It's a remembrance, spiritual. We want to be fed that spiritual baptism of a complete renewing of the mind, body, and spirit. That's what we want, and that's what Paul's talking about. He's talking about, they got some of you guys here, y'all all got different doctrines, y'all all do different things. You got one person who's hungry, another person as if drunk, you know, but this is not what the purpose of this is. This is not to eat. You're not participating in Yahushua, that sacrificial lamb. You're not accepting him with what you're doing. For in eating, everyone taketh before others his own supper, his own traditions, and one is hungry and another is drunken. Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? He's letting you know. Listen, whatever they're doing, whatever they consider to be righteous, it wasn't righteous. Go eat at your own house, because this participation in the body of Yahushua is not about food and it's not about drink. But the flesh people will tell you, here's how we're doing it today. Okay, we're going to have this, and we're going to do the Passover. But it's a spiritual thing. It's in remembrance. But it's all locked within you. It's all locked within you. If you take a little leaven and you sin, you go directly to Yahushua, that sacrificial lamb, for forgiveness. You're participating in his body and his sprinkled blood, which is your Passover, to get forgiveness and go straight to the Father, where your sins are removed. They're gone. But these teach you, you got to do something of work. We're going to get there. I'm not done. Ooh, I hope I have enough time to get it all in today. So he says, let me just go there. Let's push it back to 22. He says, what? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Because he wasn't talking about food or drink. Or despise ye the assembly of our Father and shame them that have not? What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Most High that which also I deliver unto you. Now he's going to tell you the truth. That Yahushua, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. If you keep reading further down in Luke, it's going to tell you how Judas, well, a little bit before it talks about Judas the betrayer, and afterwards it'll talk about Judas some more. But this is right during the Lord's Supper, as they would like to put it, or the Passover or the Feast of Unleavened Bread. This was all during that period. He says, let's go. Let me get back there. Verse 22, for I have received of Yahuwah that which also I deliver unto you, that Yahushua, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Well, what does he say, family? This do in remembrance of me, a memorial, the same memorial that we were supposed to have of the old covenant, of the flesh, of the Torah. He's bringing it spiritual as a remembrance. It's going to be within you. When you partake of Yahushua, you're dying in your flesh all the time. If you sin, you go to the shedding of blood, which was a sacrificial lamb, to our Father for forgiveness. 7 days, no leaven is to be found in the house, according to the book of the Torah, Exodus chapter 12. No leaven. And our bodies are the houses, are the vessels. He don't want you having no leaven in there. Okay, no leaven. That's your leaven. Yahushua is that one time sacrificial, unblemished sacrificial lamb. That's what he is. We got everything right here. It's not of works. We have grace now. We have grace. Grace was taken from us. Now we have grace back through Yahushua. Let's go a little further. So he tells us, do this in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, and this do ye as often as ye drink it. If you sin every day, repent. Because leavened days, there should be no leaven in you. But if a little leaven or some sin is in there, repent as often as you need to. Through Yahushua, through that sacrificial lamb, that now we're healed and we can go directly to the Father and ask for forgiveness and turn from our sinful ways. Get the leaven out. Repent. That's what that leaven is. Repent. Repent of that. So, family, he says, verse 25, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, remember, we're not talking about no food or no water. It's a spiritual thing. You do show Yahushua's death till he come. And he said when he come, then we're going to have that sup together. He wasn't having no sup with us now, but he was telling you as a remembrance. Remember, it's when we got out of Egypt, we were redeemed by the shedding of the blood of the Lamb then. When Yahushua comes, we will be redeemed from all our sins, the flesh, because we will be in a twinkle of an eye as Yahushua in our spiritual bodies. Then we could participate in, and you go to Revelation 19, you'll get it there. Okay, let's go a little further. It says, verse 27, Wherefore whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup of Yahushua's unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of our Redeemer. That's no different than Isaiah telling you that our hands are full of blood. You go to Isaiah 66, understand he wasn't talking about a physical dog and all this stuff with these sacrifices, because they were the prescribed sacrifices, but it's how we were doing it. It wasn't according to our Father, but it's man-made traditions, appointed feast days. So if we do this unworthily without accepting Yahushua, without coming to the truth, without removing the leaven within us, then we are just as guilty. If you participate in these days that the Father says, I can't do away with, I'm tired of all these solemn assemblies, these new moons, these Shabbats and all this. You can lift your hands and say many prayers. He said, but I'm a termite. I don't want to hear it. My soul hate it. And some people still want to do it. You think on it. That's you. So I take everybody just to Amos 8 real quick, because he said to do this in remembrance, and he was talking about this drink, he said, and he said, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of that cup. When you go to Amos 8, I'm going to read it for you guys. Pay attention. We're talking about the famine in the land. We're talking about the leaven that's not supposed to be in your houses, but if you do this with that leaven in your house and participate in these feast days, which the scribes and the Pharisees, that's what the serpent seed. That's what Jeroboam was, serpent seed. Call it for what it is. Many serpent seeds are out and about, fooling and deceiving many people. Go to Amos 8 and find out spiritually what is to do with that eating that drink that he's talking about. Let's read. Amos 8, verse 1. Thus said Yahuwah, not Georgia, thus said Yahuwah our Father, showed unto me, Amos said, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said Yahuwah unto me, the end is come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. And the songs of the temple shall be howling in that day, said Yahuwah our Father. There shall be many dead bodies in every place. They shall cast them forth with silence. Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn, and that the Shabbats, that we may set forth wheat, making the ephod small? They want to sell to the people, but steal and cheat from them, and the shekel great, and falsify the balances by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of shoes, yea, and sell the refuse of the wheat. Yahuwah has sworn by his excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works, because it's what we were doing. It's what you do when you have these sacrifices. It's your work. It's your right hand. We're going to go there. Hold on. Hold tight, family. We're going to some places. Hey, some of y'all ain't going to want to leave. Y'all might turn me up because you don't want to hear the truth. But listen, if you want the truth. Here's what it's talking about. Pay attention. In verse 8 it tells us, shall not the land tremble for this, and everyone mourneth that dwelleth therein? And it shall raise up holy as a flood, and it shall be cast out and drowned as by the flood of Egypt. This is bondage. And it shall come to pass in that day, said our father Yahuwah, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day, and I will feast. Now, these were this is what the people were doing. He said, and I will turn your feast. Pay attention. He talked about the feast in what? Isaiah 1. Okay, these man-appointed feasts. Okay. He says, and I will turn your feast. I'm trying to find where I am here, family. Give me a second. Okay, I'm at verse 10. And I will turn your feast into mourning and all your songs into lamentation. And I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins and baldness upon every head. This is what Isaiah was talking about in chapter 3 and 4. Talking about the people, our people. This is what he was talking about in chapter 1 with those solemn feasts we went in, ceremonies and all this stuff we were doing. Because you ain't doing it to the Father. I don't care how much righteous you think you are not doing it to the Father according to the Word. It's all spiritual. He says, I'm going to go there one more time. Verse 10, and I will turn your feast into mourning and all your songs into lamentations. Can y'all hear me, brother? Can you hear me? Hello? Take yourself off mute, brother, if you can hear me.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, my phone's acting up. Sorry, family. Okay, I got some weird calls just now. My phone is acting up, but I'm going to go there because I want y'all to know the truth. The Father wanted you to know. It's in his word. Okay, verse 10, and I will turn your feast into mourning and all your songs into lamentations, and I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins and baldness upon every head, and I will make it as the mourning of an only son and the end thereof as a bitter day. Behold, the days come, saith our father Yahuwah, that I will set a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst of water, but of hearing the word of Yahuwah. Who is the word of Yahuwah? Well, that would be Yahushua. And what is the bread or the body of Yahushua we should be partaking of? Well, the sprinkling of the remission of the sins through his blood. We should be participating in that. And the unleavened bread, which was his body, that we're doing in remembrance of him. I pray y'all getting this. Behold, the days come, said our father Yahuwah, that he's going to send a famine in the land. People worried about growing their crops and all that. Are you reading? Our father says he's going to send a famine in the land, and it's not going to be a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of Yahuwah. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of Yahuwah, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. They're going to be wanting it, but it's not going to be very easily found. They're going to be fainting over this. And this is of the word, not of no food. You ain't got to starve. Don't think that's what's going to happen to you. You got the... You say, if you want to believe a lie, I'm going to give you strong delusions. Many people got strong delusions on them. That they swear by the sins of Samaria. Samaria was all idolatry, idol worship. Okay, he's bringing you right back to your feast of mourning because it's idleness. Your self-proclaimed or appointed feast days, idleness. He tell you, I can't away with, and you don't want to hear it. You want to listen to the scribes and the Pharisees. His word is clear. We got to go places. It says, they that swear by the sins of Samaria and say, thy father, O Dan, liveth, and the manner of Beersheba liveth, even they shall fall and never rise up again. Verse 29, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning Yahushua's body. I hope y'all got that. Brother, is that clear to you? Take yourself off mute.
Yes, it's clear. I was keep on reading. I'm trying to find something in Tobit that quoting the same thing right here in Amos. But keep reading.
Okay, well, I wanted to share that with you because what he just told you in verse 29, family, he said, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the truth of Yahushua's body, discerning the truth of the works that you're doing. They're doing works of the flesh when it's all a spiritual thing. We just quoted the same thing, family. Let me go up there a little bit. We just went the same way in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, okay? Because he said in verse 27, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup of Yahushua's unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of Yahushua. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Okay? What is it that you're participating? Are you going to have to do something physical? No. Yahushua said, do this in remembrance of me. In the old covenant, what we were supposed to do was more physical, but it was going to be a memorial. But Yahushua came to fulfill everything of the Torah, as well as the prophets and the law. And they're all spiritual. So now, if you just think that you're going to have this feast day and this is okay, no, it's not okay, because it's spiritual. You, first of all, are worshiping, you're eating the food dedicated to devils, because it's not of our Father. If you do this, it'll be like you have Yahushua's blood on your hand. When Yahushua did it, he said it was done, it's completed. He was a one-time sacrificial lamb. There's no need for no more. He is the Passover. There is no more. And it's within us because 7 days, no leaven is to be found in your vessel, in your bodies, which is your house. Brother, did you get your scripture yet?
You can go ahead. You can go ahead.
Okay. Now. Okay. I'm trying to keep track of time because I want to make sure. I want to go back up because I didn't finish reading all of, I don't think I read all of 12. Hold on a second, family, because, yeah, we got to go there. Okay, I'm going back to Exodus 12. Flip back over. I left off at verse 11. And thus shall ye eat with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hands, and ye shall eat it in haste. This is Yahushua's Passover. Okay, verse 12. For though I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt or the land of bondage, wherever his children are, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am Yahuwah. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt or the land of your bondage, the land of your captivity. If you accept Yahushua, his spiritual Passover, removing all the leaven out of you so you can't sin, but if you do get some in there, you got that immediate connection back to our Passover, which you can do as often as you need to get to the Father, because he was that sprinkling his blood, which was, he was a sacrificial lamb, so that we have forgiveness, remission and forgiveness of sins, and you're back with the Father again. Do it as often as you need. If you sin one time, okay, great, just do it one time. If you sin four or five times, do it as often as you need. 7 days, there's no leaven. 7 days. As often as you need, family. Let's go a little further. This is going to be just like it is in the end, because he already let you know it will no longer be said that the Father brought us out of the land of Egypt, but, hey, Yahushua brought us from the lands of the north, south, where we were scattered. That is going to be the same thing. everything is the same. It's just worded different. And they use the Lord's Passover, and sometimes they use the Feast of Unleavened Bread, or they'll use, you know, whatever they want to use. It's still the same thing. So he tells us, go a little further. He says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both men and beasts. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment, for I am Yahuwah. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the house where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. There's going to be plagues in that end time in Revelation. You better read about it. When I smite the land of bondage or Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to Yahuwah throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. And we didn't do it. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your house. For whosoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off of Israel, from Israel. You're getting ready to get cut off. That's the same thing as sin in the end time. If you're found with leaven, if you're found with sin, if you're found not accepting Yahushua, which is the new covenant, which did away with all the lies of the scribes and Pharisees, which were causing the people to sin, if you accept Yahushua, hey, no evil will come nigh unto you. They talk about the rapture and all this stuff. Well, really, there's no rapture. Nobody leaving this planes of existence. It's just that one will be right there in the midst of it, like the children of Israel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego in a fiery furnace, but nothing happened to them. Whereas those who don't accept the spiritual sacrifice of Yahushua, oh, you got hell to pay on this earth. That's the ones they call it left behind. That's you. Don't listen to the world and their foolishness. We're talking about accepting Yahushua. We're talking about asking for forgiveness of sins through Yahushua, because he said it's all done, it's completed, you're healed. My blood was shed for you for the remission of sins in your house, in your temple. There will no leaven be. Beware of the scribes and the Pharisees. Don't have that crap in you. Don't have it in you. If you need forgiveness of sins, I already was at one time sacrificed, but I'm the mediator between you and my Father. Now your sins can be forgiven. Passover is an everyday thing, family. It's spiritual. Okay, so let's go a little further. In verse 14 it says, and this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you should keep it a feast to Yahuwah throughout all your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away the leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be a set-apart convocation. And in the seventh day there shall be a set-apart convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every person must eat, that only may be done of you. Now, go to verse 17. Go to verse 17, family. It tells us, this is Exodus 12, verse 17, and ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, the same ones that we read about in the book of Luke, okay, that was talking about the feast of unleavened bread or the Lord's Supper or the Passover, all the same word. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I bought your enemies out of the land of Egypt. I'm sorry, you're not enemies. I have bought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe, this is a memorial, this day in your generations by ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. Verse 19, 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leaven, same warning we get in New Testament, the scribes and the Pharisees, they're sitting in Moses' seat, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, the scribes and Pharisees, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger, a lost sheep of the house of Israel, or born in the land. Okay? Ye shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread. Okay, we're going to go a little further. Verse 21, I'm going to read it, and then we're going to stop at 28. We might go into the third hour because I want to get it all out. I don't want to have a part two of this. Let's go to verse 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in that basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. For Yahuwah passed through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, Yahuwah pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. This is all Yahushua now. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons or thy children forever. And it shall come to pass when ye be come into the land which Yahuwah will give unto you. We're waiting to get in that kingdom now, baby. But at this time, they want to get in the promised land, the land of Canaan, the land flowing with milk and honey. We're waiting to get into that spiritual land flowing with milk and honey, called the New Jerusalem with the 12 tribes of Israel's names on the houses, the gate. Hey, baby, it's all good. So he says, let's go there. He says, and it shall come to pass when ye come into the land which Yahuwah will give to you, according as he promised, that ye shall keep this service. We know they didn't. That's why we scatter, family. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? We were talking about the Passover, right? It says that ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of Yahuwah's Passover. Now the new covenant, it is the one-time sacrificial lamb. It's our Passover, or the Lord's Supper, as they like to put it, or the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It's all the same thing. Who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt. Now, not just passing over a house, he passing over every vessel in this end time. One vessel, they will be safe. Another vessel, they're going to be right in the same situation, but they might get burnt by the fire, or they might go through this tribulation or whatever the Father puts on them. They will go through it. Nobody ain't going nowhere off this earth. Either you got Yahushua and you're taking it spiritual, or you're uncovered. You're as if naked. And when it come and hit upon this earth, if you are protected by our Father and our brother in Yahushua, you got safety. You're dwelling in safety. But if not, you're not going to be like that tree right by that river getting abundance of what you need. When that heat come on your behind, you're going to be burnt. You're going to go through pain, tribulation. You either want safety or you don't. It's all through Yahushua. I hope y'all getting this. So he tells us that when your kids, you know, when it's going to come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, thy sons, your children, same word, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is a sacrifice of Yahuwah's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, in bondage, in their captivity. When he smote the Egyptians, the ones who were their oppressors to the people, and delivered our houses, or he delivered us, because our bodies are the vessels, which are the houses, which are the synagogues, that is talked about in Scripture. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as Yahuwah had commanded, and Moses and Aaron, so did they. Now, we're going to go to Exodus 13. Brother, did you find what you want to read before we go on?
It's okay, sis.
Okay, well, I will tell everybody right now, I'm going to probably push it into the third hour only for this lesson, because I got a lot of strong questions about the Passover. We have never done really a lesson fully about the Passover. So you will have this recorded. You will know where to go look. You will have the answers when you need to explain to somebody, why is it that you're keeping something of the physical flesh? Because we still got to hit revelations on this. We ain't went there yet. But it's all in the Word. Ain't nothing new. you're going to know what to tell them. And you're going to feel right about it because you're going to read it yourself and see what thus said our father, as well as Yahushua, what was said. Okay? Let's go to Exodus 13. Brother, could you read Exodus 13 for me, please? I'll give you a couple seconds to get there. Let me check out the chat line. I don't even know if my computer will open up. Oh. Okay, Sea Tiger. Shalom, Sea Tiger. I see you there. It's the only name I see that I can read. Everybody else is signed up as guests. Welcome, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I let everybody know that I'm retitling the lesson today, Acceptable Passover. Okay, what's an acceptable Passover? That's what the lesson is about today, but it's still falling in lines with the what we were talking about with the first two lessons, okay, dealing with the book of Exodus, so chapters 11 to 13. Just giving you guys more understanding. All right, brother, do you have Exodus 13 yet?
Start at verse 1?
Yes, please.
Okay, Exodus chapter 13, verse 1. And Yahuwah spake unto Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day, in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of the hand of the Most High brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. This day came ye out, in the month of Abib. And it shall be when Yahuwah shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites, the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast to Yahuwah. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. And thou shalt shew thy son in that day, saying, this is done, because that which the Most High did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be for a sign unto thee. I mean, and it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that Yahuwah's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath Yahuwah brought thee out of Egypt. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in its season from year to year. And it shall be, when Yahuwah shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore unto thee, and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee, that thou shalt set apart unto Yahuwah all that open the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the males shall be Yahuwah's, and every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb, and if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. And it shall be, when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this? That thou shalt say unto him, by strength of the hand of Yahuwah brought us out of Egypt from the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that Yahuwah slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to Yahuwah all that opened the matrix, being males. But all the firstborn of my children I redeemed. And it shall be for a token upon thine hand and for frontlets between thine eyes. For by strength of the hand of Yahuwah brought us forth out of Egypt. And it came to
pass.
Okay,
brother, that's good. Just stop right there. Go and catch me, because I got to go over a little bit. Catch me, Revelations chapter 7. I want you to hit on verses 1 through 4 in a second, okay? Family, we're going to go back up, because there's some things said here. I hope y'all caught it. This will dispel some more lies. Now, if you understand, the word thy sons means children, many times. That's what they're speaking about, not just the sons. They're speaking about the children of Israel, thy sons, the word thy sons. Go look it up. Okay, let's go there one more time. I'm going to first give a call-in number because we're going to go into the third hour for this particular lesson. The call-in number is 646-595-4111. We got to hit Revelations. We're getting ready to go there, okay? If you want to know about the Passover, what day is it? Well, we let you know. If 7 days, you're not supposed to keep any leaven in your houses or in your vessels or in you. And Yahushua is at one time Passover, so it ain't got to be done no more. It was completed. The nation was healed. We have a direct connection to Yahuwah because of the shed blood, the stripes that Yahushua received for our sins. Now we have remission of sins. We go with a connection directly to our Father Yahuwah because there's only one mediator between the people and the Father. Scribes and Pharisees will tell you there's four powers of authority. We're going to be hitting it here. They're going to tell you the words, the son. See, it's only the men, crock. That's not right. Let's read what our Father says. Exodus 13. I'm going to go a little further where I want to go. Well, let's see. I'm going to just read it because I lost my spot. I got locked out the internet for a second, family. It says, and Yahuwah speaking to Moses, saying, I'm reading out of Exodus 13, verse 2, sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whosoever opened the womb according to the children of Israel. Now, talking about the children of Israel, but many might get deceived because right behind that it says both of man and of beast. It's mine. So that they can, oh, it's just the men. No, it's not just the men. Let's go a little further. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. That takes you back to the curses, where it says that we'd be sold we would be sold by ships into Egypt again. Well, that's when the children of Israel, under the chastisement because of our disobedience, we were sold under captivity in bondage. Not actual Egypt this time. Now we're in the land of our captivity. We're not in our land anymore. After 70 AD is all over. We're out of there. So he tells us, he says, and Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which he came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of the hand, the mighty right hand, some people are trying to make the children of Israel not depend on and wait on, which is our fathers. He bought us out of this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. Keep all the leaven, all the lies, a little leaven leaveth the whole lump. Keep it all out. This day came ye out in the month of Abib, and it shall be when Yahuwah shall bring thee into the land of Canaan, the promised land, the new Jerusalem. And the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, these were all the giants and so forth, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. It was promised only to Israel. A land flowing with milk and honey. Same way the Garden of Eden is described as well as in the Jerusalem. That thou shalt keep this service in this month. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast unto our Father. Okay, family, they're giving me 90 seconds, so 646-595-4111. Got to take you a couple places. Got to make you see what Revelations is speaking of. I pray you get this. 646-595-4111. Go ahead and switch over if you want to continue with us. Okay, verse 7. He tells us, unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee. Not in your house. Don't have none. Beware of those scribes and Pharisees, new covenant. 60 seconds. Neither shall there be leaven seen with all thy quarters. It ain't supposed to be nowhere. No leavened bread. And thou shalt show thy sons or thy children in that day, saying, this is done because of that which Yahuwah did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be for a sign. Now, remember the mark that everyone is talking about with the mark of the beast or the seal of Yahuwah. It shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine head, upon thy hand, and for a memorial between thy eyes, that Yahuwah's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand, 10 seconds, For with a strong hand hath Yahuwah brought thee out of Egypt, or out of bondage, or out of your captivity, wherever you're located. Same thing. Take it. There's nothing new underneath the sun is what I'm trying to show you. Whatever you're reading about here, you can best believe at the end time, that's what you should expect. Now, we just read verse 8. I got to read it again because they keep interrupting me. I don't know if y'all can hear me. It reads, and thou shalt show thy children in that day, saying, this is done because of that which Yahuwah did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. Verse 9, this should take you to the seal of Yahuwah. And it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thy hand. Remember that right hand that you don't want a mark of the beast with. And it shall be a sign upon thy hand. It's of the works, right? Something that you're doing. And for a memorial between thy eyes, that Yahuwah's laws, which we know the laws are not spiritual according to the new covenant, that the laws, that Yahuwah's laws may be in thy mouth. The strong hand hath Yahuwah brought thee out of captivity, or out of Egypt, or bondage. Now, I'm going to take you guys somewhere. Let me just read it to that point. Let me keep going. Verse 9, or verse 10. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in the season from year to year. We didn't do that, family. And it shall be when Yahuwah shall bring thee into the land of Canaanites, as he sware unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it to thee, that thou shalt set apart unto Yahuwah all that open the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the male shall be Yahuwah's. Now, when you read verse 12, it's not talking about the children of Israel, only the males, but it's talking about the males of the beast. I don't know if y'all caught that. It says that thou shalt set apart unto Yahuwah all that open the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of the beast which thou hast, the males shall be the most high. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with the lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break its neck, and all the firstborn of man among thy children shall thou redeem. Now, the man they're speaking about is a set-apart man through the lineage of Adam, the ones who were given the set-apart spirit. It says, and it shall be when thy sons or thy children ask thee in the time to come, saying, what is this? That thou shalt say unto him, by strength of the hand of Yahuwah, that's the only hand that's going to help you in the end, family, by the strength of that mighty right hand. Some people are trying to take Yahuwah's spiritual arm and make it into a flesh arm. We got to stop that nonsense. By the strength of the hand of our father, Yahuwah, in the end time is going to be Yahushua, brought us out of bondage. The word is Egypt, from the house of bondage. Okay. And it passed when Pharaoh could hardly let us go, that Yahuwah slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore, I sacrifice to Yahuwah all that opened the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children. But all the firstborn, whether male or female, of my children, I redeem. You see, the downplaying of all his children by the scribes and Pharisees usually leaves the woman out. But according to our father, he's looking for his children. He says, but the firstborn of my children, I redeem. The men and the women. It didn't take no man to redeem a woman. You ain't got no have that man over your head to be redeemed. Are you not reading? But because when we read prior, and it said, it was talking about the animals, and it said the firstborn of the males. It was talking about the beast. But as far as the children, there's no difference, male or female. We just read it. I'm going to read one more time. And it came to pass when Pharaoh could hardly let us go that Yahuwah slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore, I sacrifice to Yahuwah all that opened the matrix, being males. But all the firstborn of my children I redeem. Verse 16, and it shall be for a token upon thy hand and for frontlets between thy eyes. For by strength of the hand of Yahuwah brought us forth out of Egypt, or out of bondage, out of captivity. We're waiting for that right now, family. That's what we're waiting on, aren't we? So this is a memorial, okay? This is a memorial. This Passover that is 7 days with no leaven in it, and accepting Yahushua and having faith and believing upon the word and understanding when the Father said it will no longer be said, the Father brought us out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, but Yahushua brought us out of the lands of the north, the south, the east. You know, come on, family, come on. I pray y'all getting this. Woo! This is what's going to be a token upon thy hand and for frontlets between thine eyes. For by strength of the hand of our Father, when we wait on him, he's going to bring us forth out of bondage or out of our captivity, wherever we're scattered across the four corners of the earth. Now, let's take that token upon the hand and the frontlets between the eyes, which is your thinking cap, what you believe to be true. Do you have leaven up in there or not? Let's take it to Revelation 7. Brother, go ahead and read for me, please, Revelation 7, verses 1 through 4. Family, open up, open up, open up. Brother, you there? Got to take yourself off mute. Let me check. Let me check. He might be cut off. Let me see. No, he's there. Brother, you're there. You got to take yourself off mute.
Okay, I'm here.
Okay.
You
now,
said Revelation.
Look, because I did, just because I had to say so much, brother, I want to make sure everybody getting it. He's going to read to you Revelation 7, verses 1 through 4. I just told you guys, when you go to the Old Covenant, it was in the Torah. Ain't nothing new. People worried about a scanner mark, the number 666, all this other crazy stuff for the mark of the beast, but it's something very simple, family. Either you're going to have the mark of our Father, the seal of our Father, on your hand and between on your forehead, between your eyelids, or you're going to have the mark of the beast. Go ahead and read to us Revelation 7, verses 1 through 4, and let's figure out the mark of Yahuwah.
Okay, Revelation chapter 7, verse 1. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living Yahuwah, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of the Most High in their forehead. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel.
Thank you, brother. Now, what did you notice that was left out? Well, the works. Because it's no longer of works, it's by grace. But you are still supposed to spiritually observe and keep 7 days, no leaven in your house. Then you have the seal of Yahuwah. This is the same seal that was spoken of in Exodus 13, verse 16. And it shall be for a token upon thy hand and for the frontlets between your eyes. For by strength of the hand of our Father brought us out of Egypt. But now Yahushua is going to be bringing us out. Now, there's going to be some, they're going to have the same type of mark, or the word mark is a token, but they're going to have it on their hands and on their forehead, which is the frontlets of the eyes. But it's not going to be the mark of Yahuwah. It's not going to be the mark. We're going to read about that in a second. But just letting you see, the Father tells the angels, hold back everything. Hold back all the winds and everything of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, neither on the sea nor on any tree. Okay? Until when? Well, it says, until we have sealed the servants of our Father Yahuwah in their foreheads, this memorial, this token. Either they will have done and kept one time only sacrifice, which was by Yahushua, that completed and fulfilled everything, and it's spiritual now. They will have that mark, on their forehead. It's a spiritual thing, because remember the wheat and the tare, the parable, remember? Wait for the angels to come, because by looking at these people, they all look alike, because the judgment on the other nations is already there. But the ones who are Israel, remember, all Israel is not Israel, is of Israel, rather, and some will not have the mark of Yahuwah, which is the truth. They have leaven in them, because 7 days, we're not supposed to have any leaven with us. It's only 7 days of a week, so that's every day. It's a continual thing. They've repented. They've come back to the Father righteously. They've come out of Babylon. They've come out of all that confusion. There's no leaven found in them. They didn't hearken. They weren't persuaded by the scribes and the Pharisees sitting in Moses' seat. They hearkened and they were taking account. They were taking account of the leaven of the Pharisees. They understood it because they read. They studied to show themselves approved. Let's go to Revelation 9. Let's read, brother, verses 1 through 4. We're going to hear a little bit more about this now, because somebody need to hear it. Somebody need to hear this. We just read Revelation 7, verses 1 through 4, speaking about the seal of Yahuwah, or the mark, or the token upon the hand and the frontlets between the eyes. This was for a memorial. Either you're going to be sealed by the Most High or you're not. But let's go read Revelation 9, verses 1 through 4, please.
Revelation 9. Chapter 9, verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of the Most High in their foreheads.
Thank you, brother. Now, this family is exactly the same thing as when the Father says, no evil will come nigh unto you. If you are waiting on the Father, if you are having faith that he is the one with that strong, mighty, spiritual right arm will save you. You can't do nothing of works for yourself. You can't listen to the old leavened up, filled lying scribe and Pharisee telling you to ship your little nasty behind to Egypt or build a little civilization, maybe called Kofaland or America, Babylon, any of this nonsense. You keep this feast day. The Father said, I can't do away with. I can't. You've got leaven in you. You can't be lukewarm on this. You will be one of the ones that will not have the protection of Yahushua like the Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego when they were thrown in that fiery furnace. You will be right here, and you will go through Jacob's trouble, the worst that has ever been. We've had many Jacob's trouble, but this last one here, it's going to be hot. You better be prepared. Now, those who have waited on the Father, who are seeking the Father's face, who know that it don't take a fleshly man of sin to be your covering, but Yahushua. There's only one mediator. It's no sinful flesh that can cover you. But if you are protected by Yahuwah, through Yahushua, you've accepted that Passover, one-time deal. You have accepted the forgiveness of sins through the stripes that he took for us and the shedding of his blood. And you participate in his body every day, not by taking a wafer or taking a special day and making it a feast day and calling it a Passover, but every day for 7 days, there's no leaven in you. If you sin, you go right back to that one-time sacrifice. Through him, you get to Yahuwah, and you ask for forgiveness, and your sins are forgiven. But if not, baby, if you think that you can light up a furnace seven times itself and you get thrown in and you will be perfect, if you ain't got Yahushua and Yahuwah as your covering, oh, you're deceiving yourself. If you don't know, it's a lot of leaven. Anything of the flesh right now. It's a lot of leaven. And we're told not to have any of it, not anywhere in your house. See, it's an everyday thing. The Father tells you through his Son, Yahushua, don't put this day over the other day. Don't do all that because it's all spiritual. But if you don't have that understanding between your eyelids or in your forehead, if you're not sealed with our Father there, if you're doing something of the hands, which he didn't talk about that in Revelation 7, verses 1 through 4, but somebody else talks about that. Brother, go to Revelation 13 for me. Let's hear about the mark of the beast. We read in Exodus 13 where we were supposed to have a token on our hand, and it says, upon thy hand and the frontlets between thy eyes, which is the same thing as saying the seal of the Most High, okay? But now through Yahushua, it's between the forehead that you want. You don't want no seal on your hand because you don't want to be doing no works. We've been hitting on it. I don't know if y'all been paying attention. Go back through our prior lessons with these scribes and Pharisees. They got you doing of works. They lay heavy burdens on the people. Oh, you got to do this. You got to buy that. You got to do this. You gotta come pay for this class. You got to go here. You got to do this. Look. And preparation is not about anything of works like that. It's seeking the Father. It's obeying. It's giving spiritual sacrifices to our Father of thanksgiving. That's what's pleasing to him. We just read it. Let's go there, brother. Revelations. We're going to compare the seal of Yahuwah or the tokens of the memorial on our hand, between our eyelids, spoken of in the book of Exodus 13, we're going to compare it to the mark of the beast. I pray you see and understand. Revelation 13, brother, go ahead and read verses 9 through 18, please.
Revelation chapter 13, verse 9. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. He exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wounds was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by his sword, and did live, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. That image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused them all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that hath the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666.
Thank you, brother. Now, family, I've gone over some of this before. I'm not going to go over it all today, but I will have a future lesson that's going to pinpoint just Revelation 13, verses 9 through 18. Because what you got to understand is you're believing some supernatural being is going to pop up here, and it's just one man that's doing this. No, no, no. See, the number 6 represents a man. It tells you 666. We have what? The false prophet, the false witness, and the... what is it? Basically the devil. But they all are not some supernatural alien being that's coming down or coming out the earth and is mysterious. They got, it talks about this He talks about this fire coming down from heaven. That has to do with the sacrifices. That has to do, go, leads back to Cain. His was not accepted. That has to do with the serpent seed. See, all this is about Israel. Because it tells you, the biggest hit you should get is this. The Father lets you know this is important. If any person have an ear, let them hear. This is a revelation. This is a revealing. This has already happened. You just got to go back through the prophets, and they will tell you what they're speaking of. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. Now, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here's the patience and the faith of the saints. Many people will be led into captivity because if their time wasn't cut short, family, even the elect would be deceived. But there's many people who are deceived. We're warned about this deception. Yeshua said the scribes and the Pharisees are sitting in Moses' seat. He warned his disciples. He said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. He let you know just a little bit of leaven, leaven at the whole lump. It said that the children of Israel will be enemies to his wife. Well, because of the word. It's not that they're reading not the same book, but their understanding of the truth is not of our Father. They believe, because a lying scribe and Pharisees has told them to do something of works, that they have to go back to the Torah. Go look at what the scribes and the Pharisees were teaching the people in the New Covenant. It goes right back to the Torah. They want to do water baptism over Yahushua's baptism of the set-apart spirit, where you get a complete renewing of the mind, body, and spirit. They want you to keep feast days, look at moons, wear certain garbs. They look at the word in a flesh manner. Well, it says woman, you nasty old woman, you got to get a serpent authority over the man. Not understanding our Father's word, they don't have an ear to hear. But you do. But you do. You can go from Old Covenant to New Covenant to Revelations and read about this memorial. It all has to do with what you have in your vessel, what the angels will see when they come. Either you will be gathered or you will be tossed in the furnace, in the lake of fire. One or the other. It's up to you. But those who have hearkened to the Father, they will be right in the midst of all this wickedness. But nothing, no weapon formed against them will prosper. What does it say? 10,000 will fall by their left hand and by their right hand, but no evil will come nigh unto you. If you have the protection, not of a man, not of a woman, but of our brethren Yahushua. So, if you don't have it, it tells us that this one right here, this beast coming up out of the earth, had two horns like a lamb. Well, it wasn't Yahushua, that's for sure. Because it says that this one spake like a dragon, a devil, that old serpent, bringing you back to Cain, whose sacrificial offering was not accepted. No fire came down from heaven. But this one in the end, that is no more, but is now, well, it says, he doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of the people. They see this and they think, oh, it's set apart, oh, it's holy. As they say, you know, when Jeroboam did what he did, people must have bought the lie because Judah went into sinning just like Jeroboam. Just like the southern kingdom went into sinning and idolatry just like the northern kingdom under Jeroboam. When Paul was writing his letters of rebuke, much of this nonsense wasn't the full at the height of its wickedness. Oh, it's wickeder now. Because that generation of vipers has been there from the very beginning. Either you accept the truth or you won't. When we get to the, when we went over the assemblies or the churches of Revelations, we showed you the only two that were accepted was the ones who told you and warned you. See, we're faithful watchmen. But many people get offended if I don't sound the trumpet when people tell you lies. They're lying to you. You're not supposed to keep those things. You can either read what thus says our Father in his word as we read, or you could believe the lie. And the Father said, I'm going to give you a strong delusion where you won't believe the lie. At this time, if you feel that you've been lied to, you take it up with our Father. You repent to him. You come out the confusion, out the leaven, out the Babylon. And just to give you all a little heads up, yeah, Father giving more revelations. I found the scripture I was looking for to tie it all up, revelations. You can better believe it's all about Israel. But it's also about the part that isn't Israel. It's about us. It's not about any other nations. It's about the lineages of Cain and the lineage of Abel, or shall I say Seth. Baby, this stuff is getting hot. Either you're going to want the mark or the seal of our Father and come spiritual, because we just read it. Let me just go there. I want to make sure I hit it right. I want to read this again. Hope I got to move my little computer screen up. Okay, we just read it. I'm going to read it again. In 1 Peter chapter 2, he tells us, I'm going to pick up at verse 5, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a set-apart priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, which are acceptable to our Father by Yahushua. You either want to do the spiritual ones, or you want to be in the same situation as the children of Israel when they got all high and high-minded and haughty and just want to do their own thing, their own way. And they went into captivity. But this time, there's no more captivity after this one. There's only that lake of fire. Broad is the way for destruction. Broad is that way. Narrows that way, and few that find that. But if you have an ear to hear what our Father has said, spiritual sacrifices are these things are acceptable to our Father. Not anything of works. Not anything of works. Note, not anything of works. Now, I'm not done with you yet. After we read Revelation 13, verse 9 through 18, the last part said, here's wisdom. Now, when we get ready to go through the Revelation series, I'm just giving you a heads up on this stuff. You start researching on your own. Be ready for me when I come at you with the Father's word. It says, here is wisdom. This is the wisdom. This is the understanding of our Father. He says, let him that hath understanding. You got to have understanding. You can't just read it and whatever. You got to have that understanding. The only way you're going to get the understanding is spiritually. Because the Spirit leads you to the truth. Was the word in the beginning. That is Yahushua. So it says, count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. But it tells you, his number is 600, 666, which is 666. But this is the number of a man. You go look up in the number of seven in the scriptures is perfection. Well, when you get to the number six, that's of a man. But they give you three sixes. Because Paul told you, there are many antichrists. Are many devils. There's many. And these are not little red devils with horns and little pitchforks and stuff. No, these are people. And we're talking about Israel. What's right there with Israel? Always been with Israel. But it's the number of a man. He's deceiving the Most High's people. He's blocking the way of the kingdom and making the children who should enter the kingdom, not enter in, making them more children of hell than themselves. Yahushua talked about it. You see, family, the right hand is of works. Go ahead and read Revelation and see how many times they talk about works in there. Something that the children of Israel were doing wrong. Understand, by the time you get to finding out about that woman that sits on that colored, this woman who sits on a beast with a cup of blasphemy and mystery Babylon, you better know what that is. I got the answers for you, but you ain't getting it yet because I want to wrap all the little pieces of leaven, get all those things wrapped up and toss them out of your houses. So that when we come to the pure truth, you ain't got no problem understanding it. Because right now, many of y'all sit with too many doggone pieces of leaven in y'all, and y'all think y'all know it all. Some of y'all get on Facebook. I'm not going to mention a name. You know who you are. And I pray you hear my voice, because I'm rebuking you right now. You get on Facebook. You take every wind of doctrine that comes by and think you got it. You ain't got nothing, but you're leading the children. You become a devil yourself. You're leading the children of Israel astray with that nonsense you post. Stop posting. Start reading and seeking the Father. Let the woman learn in silence. And when I say that, I'm talking about the children, the woman, the assembly. If you don't know, be quiet. Learn. Don't. I'm not saying a woman or a man. If you don't know, don't start posting nothing. Because you're leading the children astray. You're not warning them of nothing. You're doing like the scribes and the Pharisees. You become a devil yourself is what you're doing. I've been wanting to say that to a few people out there. I know y'all know who I'm talking about. The right hand is of works. But we know this is no longer of works. You can't do nothing. You can't will nothing. You can't run nothing. You can't make a man-made civilization. You can't ship yourself and claim because you know the wisdom of man is, according to the Father, is the wisdom of a fool. You can't put your wisdom with the Father's when he let you know that Yahushua came to fulfill the prophets, so where should you be looking for the revealing and revelations? Well, you better be going back to the prophets because it's all about Israel. So we know that when it talks about the right hand, it's talking about of works. But as you know, the ones who are sealed by the Most High, they don't even mention their hands. But when they talk about the ones sealed with the mark of the beast, it talk about that hand all right. And it says, and between the eyelid is spiritual truth. You're not going to have a big tattoo 666 right between your eyes. No, that's foolishness. Fake spiritual. It's that leaven that you receive, that misteaching. What you're doing with your hands is how you support lies, leaven. And you take that little leaven and you leaven the whole lump of the Father's word. Because the scribes and the Pharisees, they were taking the word. They opened up the same book we opened. But their understanding is not of our fathers. Many have believed this lie. Let's see. Do I want to go anywhere else? I want to see, brother. I got a little bit more here. Let me see. I think I might have it all. Oh, okay. Brother, you still there? Hello? Take yourself off mute, brother.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. Go ahead for me and open up Romans 12. Romans 12, whole Romans 12, I want you to read Romans 1 through 5. Hold that, though, okay? Hold that for me. I want to go back and I want to read something to you guys. I want to make another connection for you in case you don't know. Now, remember we talked about in Amos that famine, people looking at to grow crops because they listen to the ways of the world. Their mind is not spiritual, not on our Father, but it's still in this earthly plane. They're worried about all the things that could come against them, not leaning and waiting on our Father, not seeking our Father, not trying to get that spiritual protection of Yahushua, which is the proper order of authority for man or the people, the assembly. So when we speak of the famine in the land, we're talking about the truth of the Father. We're not talking, you're talking about you have not participated or partaken of Yahushua's sacrifice, of his body, of his blood. It's all a spiritual thing. Know that. By the time you get down, and let me just go there, make sure I get it right. I just want to read the last, let me just read, hold up a second. I'm at Amos 8. I just want to read, I'll pick up at verse 7, okay, of Amos 8. Okay, it says, Yahuwah has sworn by his excellency unto Jacob, or Israel, surely I will never forget any of their works. Shall not the land tremble for this? Remember the right hand, that's of works. And you ain't got no seal on your hand when it comes to the Father's seal because it's not of works anymore. Remember that. He says, Yahuwah has sworn by the excellency of Israel, surely I will never forget any of their works. And we read what those works were. Shall not the land tremble for this, and every one mourneth that dwelleth therein. And it shall rise up holy as a flood, and it shall be cast out and drowned, as by the flood of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith our Father Yahuwah, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day. And I will turn your feasts into mourning, and all your songs into lamentations. And I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins, and baldness upon every head. And I will make it as the morning of an only son, and the end thereof as a better day, bitter day. Behold, the days come, saith Yahuwah our Father, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor thirst of water, but the hearing of the word of our Father. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of Yahuwah and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and the young men faint and thirst. They that swear by the sins of Samaria or the northern kingdom, Israel, the idol-worshipping kingdom, they and say, O God, O Dan liveth, and the manner of Beersheba liveth, even they shall fall and never rise up again. Verse 29, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation unto himself, not discerning Yahuwah's time sacrifice. Let's go to Romans 12. Brother, could you read for me verses 1 through, 1 through 5, please.
Say that again now.
Read for me Romans 12, verses 1 through 5.
Okay. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of the Most High, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, set apart, acceptable unto the Most High, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of the Most High. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as Yahuwah have dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and our members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Yahushua. Every one members one of another.
All right. So that basically lets you know in the book of Romans, Paul's telling you, you know, it's just what we already said. Our bodies are that living sacrifice. That's how we partake of the, like they like to say, the cross. No, we're accepting Yahushua, what he did for us, for his nation of people. He came to redeem through the stripes. We are healed, and through the blood, the remission of sins, our sins. And that now for this memorial, this Passover, that it lets us know 7 days, no leaven is to be found in your house. We are the, as they say, we're the living sacrifice. We, our bodies. This is set apart acceptable to our Father. We just read that in 1 Peter. And that's your reasonable service. If you don't do that, you will have the mark of the beast on you. If you have not, people say, and the word says, they'll say, hey, I'm doing this for Yahweh, or I'm doing this for, they got all kind of names for God and Jesus in the Bible, many names. But they will claim them, and they will tell you the Father sent them to give you this word, and the Father says, and the law says, and the word says, but does it really? Or is it their vain imaginations? Because they don't have to set up our spirit telling you. Our Father lets you know what is acceptable and pleasing to him. He says spiritual sacrifices. Okay, he lets you know all that we were doing in the past. Uh-uh. We were going to discontinue from that. He said away with. He said his soul hated. Okay? He says, for I say, though the grace given unto me to every person that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Because right now they got people thinking the woman's nothing and the man's everything. This is part of the mark of the beast, because there's no division in Israel. He lets us know even further. Let's go there. For I say, through the grace given unto me to everyone that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Have some sense, some reasoning, according as Yahuwah have dealt to every person the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Yahushua, and every one members one of another. There is only the Father, Yahushua, that mediator between the people and the Father. And we're all part of the same body. Brother, go ahead and read out of Romans 12, read 30 to 34, please. Take yourself off mute.
You said 12?
Yes, in Romans chapter 12. Just keep where you're at in Romans 12. Just read 30 through 34.
30 through 12?
Chapter 12 of Romans, and I want you to read verses 30 through 34.
Romans 12 don't have 30 to 34.
That's what I'm looking at. Okay, you know what it is? I'm sorry. That's why you were stuttering. Okay, go back, and I was reading out of Amos 8. I'm sorry. Amos 8. As a matter of fact, I'll read it. I'm going to read it. I'm going to pick back up at the last verse I read, which was 29 of Romans 8, where he's talking about the famine in the land. Verse 29 says, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Yahuwah's body." Now, we just read in Romans 12 that we're all part of this body, and we are living sacrifices, and we do we partake of Yahushua while we're in our flesh bodies, because we're a living sacrifice. But we're all the children, not just the men, all the children do this. Okay, so then I want to pick back up at verse 30, which says, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of Yahuwah, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, wherefore, my people, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." I'm sorry, this isn't even in Amos 8. I'm sorry, I don't know where I'm going with this. This was taken, family, out of 1 Corinthians 11. Verse 30 is where you should have been at. I'm sorry. My notes, like I said, I had a bunch of problems today. But we were talking about when they were coming for so-called the Passover, that feast day they were keeping in 1 Corinthians 11. This piggybacks on it, because he's letting the people know there's many diversities among you Hebrews, that there's a lot of sickness here. He says in verse 30, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Not that they're dead, but they're spiritually dead. "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of our Father, that we should not be condemned with the world." Because, see, if you're living by the world, you can be judged as the world. You don't want to be judged as the world, okay? "Wherefore, my brethren," these are the Hebrews, "when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home." Because it's not about food and drink. That's not what this is about. It's a spiritual message. "That ye come not together unto condemnation." Because if you're coming together, what you see happening in the churches right now, what you see happening among the Hebrews for these feast days and all that, hey, it's condemnation. Okay? And then Paul says, "And the rest will I set in order when I come? Because he was writing letters. Brother, go over to John 19. John 19. Family, we're almost done here. Let's pick up at John 19. This is for those who want the truth. I mean, I know it's hard sometimes when I go through these scriptures, but some people don't want the truth. Go ahead and get me John 19 and read verses 26 to 30 for me, please.
John chapter 19, verse 26. When Yahushua therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then said he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took her unto his own house, to his own home. After this, Yahushua, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon his and put it on his mouth. When you said, keep going, right?
30. Yeah, go ahead and read 30.
Okay. I said, when Yahushua therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ruach.
Very good. You see, upon his death, burial, and resurrection, because he was that one-time sacrificial lamb, he said, It's finished. He completed, he came to fulfill the law of the prophets. He fulfilled it all. It was done. There's no need for anybody to do anything of works anymore because it's by grace and mercy. And we have to have faith to know the truth from the lies, read that our Father will be the one who will protect us, not a man. No one in flesh will protect you. Beware of the scribes and the Pharisees, of the leaven. Don't have it in your temple. Start taking the word of Revelation spiritual. Go read the prophets. See what they had to say about our people. What led our people astray? They like to take those verses and say the children are their oppressors, the women rule over them. That's nonsense. It's not talking about women or children. Go read those words. Look them up. Now, just so you guys understand, our Father requires only our spiritual thanksgiving. I want to go and read just really quickly for you a couple different other things. I don't know if I even put them in there, but it is to let you know what he's expecting from us. In Romans 4, verse 11, it reads, And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness of faith, which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe. Though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. Now, this is talking about the northern and southern kingdom. This is talking about, as in the scriptures, they say Jews and Gentiles. But that's all this was speaking of, because the lost sheep of the house of Israel, they were not circumcised. But it didn't matter. They were still our people. They will get engrafted back in. But this is a spiritual understanding, just as when they said, this is your mother, talking about Yahushua's mother. But now it's their mother, because it's a spiritual thing. Together we are all brothers and sisters. We are all members of the same body. That body don't just incorporate men, it incorporates the children of Israel. The ones who, the firstborn who opened the matrix, thy sons, that was all the children of Israel, firstborn. There's never a division put in Israel. Only the lying scribes and Pharisees have put that in there for you, not to get the truth of the word. When you go to Ephesians 1, verse 3, it says, Blessed be Yahuwah and the Father of, blessed be the Creator and Father of our brethren Yahushua, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Yahushua. Hebrews 13:15 says, By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifices, praise to Yahuwah continually. That's why 7 days you can't have no leaven in you, because it's all about the spirit, family. Okay? It says, By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifices of praise to Yahuwah continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a set-apart nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Go to Revelation 5:12. It says, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Revelation 7:12, saying, hallelujah, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our Father forever and ever. Hallelujah. Well, you see, you're not going to read no more about works. What we were doing in Old Covenant is what I'm trying to show you. But if you didn't get it when they told you, you were said do away with all that. He said we were going to discontinue from our heritage. Yahushua, he didn't do nothing different that the Old Covenant had set up. He just came to fulfill it. And when he completed it, being that one-time sacrificial Passover or unleavened bread feast or whatever you want to call it, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is still the Lord's Supper or the Passover, it's all the same thing. He said it's done. It's completed. So why do you feel you got to still do something with your right hand, which is the mark of the beast, the mark of a man? Man told you got to do this. Father never told you that. The seal going to be in your head. You're going to either come out of the confusion, the leaven, the Babylon, and you're going to seek the truth of our Father's word. And when Yahushua break through the sky and in a twinkle of an eye, either you're going to have your spiritual body together or not. You're either going to be prepared spiritually or you're not. You're either going to be a child of the flesh or a spiritual child of the Most High. Family, that's all I have for you. Brother, did you want to add anything to what I just said? Brother, are you there? Uh-oh. Are we still here? Unmute yourself, brother, if you're there, because I don't know if I'm being heard. Okay, well, family, I think that he got disconnected. Anyhow, an acceptable Passover. Know the truth about the Passover, family. Go back through the archived lessons and learn the truth of our Father's word. I pray that I have not been disconnected because I just went back over to my switchboard and it shows nobody there but me. So I don't know. I don't know if it's working or not. We have about 7 minutes left till the third hour ends. I don't know what's going on. I don't see him. He might have got disconnected. Doesn't show anything, but nobody's there. So with that said, family, I just want to say, hey, have a blessed Shabbat. Go back through all our lessons. Get the understanding. And we will see you again, prayfully, Friday. If not, definitely on Tuesday at 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Hey, family, Shabbat Shalom.
A lot of Israelites is going back into the world, you know. And I can't figure it out. I mean, where you gonna go? Where you gonna go after you heard this truth?
I've got a question. Oh.
that it let me live. Oh, I, oh, 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 I, don't you know I
you never cry.